Good morning.
They didn't do that well at 5 o'clock yesterday. I am Deacon Chip Jones from the Diocese of Memphis in West Tennessee. I'm the husband of Anne Marie Jones. I'm the father of four daughters, including your pastoral minister, Deanna Johnston, over there. And just to eliminate any distractions during the homily, I want to get a couple of things off the table right away. 6'9" and nope. The questions are, how tall are you? And did you play basketball? Both reasonable questions, and for the sake of completeness, I was a volleyball player, as was she. And no, it does not bother me when people ask, and no, I will not think ill of you if you ask me again in the narthex, because you still haven't quite tuned in to me, because I'm so tall. But I wanted to make sure we got all of that out of the way before we got into the meat of the homily, because this is kind of an important day. Where did the year go? I mean, it seems like it was just January, just a bit ago, but here we are at the first Sunday of Advent. Now, Advent in the church is a season of the year in which we are waiting. Not waiting in lines in stores, though we will. Not waiting on orders from Amazon.com to arrive, though we will. And not just waiting for the next sale. Advent is a time of waiting for Christ. Now, I think it's interesting that the culture's focus, even before the first Sunday of Advent, moves really rapidly to all of the warm and fuzzy Christmassy images of things like the baby Jesus, if they could stand him, and snowmen, and reindeer, Santa Claus, and candy canes. It's interesting because as church, we spend the first 2 weeks of Advent thinking about the second coming of Christ, which is not going to be a warm and fuzzy event in any way. And the themes that we look at as church are a little cautionary, to say the least. Keep watch. The Son of Man will show up like a thief in the night. Don't get caught sleeping. See, the first half of Advent is all about being prepared for the last judgment, not the Christmas tree. And you know, being prepared for Christ's second coming should be the focus of every Christian life. But how we're waiting, what we're doing while we're waiting, that is far more important than just watching and waiting. Isaiah describes in today's first reading a people who have wandered far from God's ways. And the prophet prays that God will return and that God might meet us doing right. Isaiah describes Israel in extreme terms. We are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All of our good deeds are like polluted rags. He's describing a people that has turned its back on God. And yet, Isaiah acknowledges that God can help them get back on track. The gospel isn't any more comforting. It's short and sweet, but it's still a little threatening. Be watchful. Be alert. Don't let me come back and find you sleeping. Watch. See, these aren't happy, feel-good readings. Unfortunately, we can hear them and be tempted to put a big "doesn't apply to me" stamp on it and tune out. Or we can hear them and say, "yep, absolutely," and still tune out. It isn't really the stuff of touchy-feely Christmas cheer, is it? Brothers and sisters, I would submit that there's more to these readings than just scary words. Look back at the parable that Jesus used in this gospel. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Brothers and sisters, the master left his servants with work to do. And what did Isaiah pray? Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Now, a few of us in this room this morning might be total reprobates, the worst of the worst folks. If you're one of those and you're here, thanks be to God, there's hope for you. But honestly, most of us aren't evil people. We're just trying to make our way through the world the best that we can with the gifts that we have, trying to do right. But see, Jesus isn't talking just to the best of us. And Isaiah isn't talking about just the worst of us. They're both talking to all of us. Now, what do I mean? Well, if we're just traipsing along through life, making it to Mass, but not much more, thinking that the sin in our lives isn't really that bad, well, brothers and sisters, we are wrong. Likewise, if we're sitting in the church every single day, praying, reading the Bible, and figuring that everything is great because we're so holy, but doing nothing more, we're wrong too. See, God needs more out of us than that. Well, I know, it's Advent, Christmas is coming, and here I am bringing everybody down. I mean, if you're coming to Mass, isn't that a good thing? Yeah. If your kids are involved in youth ministry or religious education, isn't that a good thing? Yes, it is. And if you're spending time in adoration or praying the rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet or reading the Bible, isn't that good? Yes. But see, brothers and sisters, God has armed us to do so much more. And he did that because the work that he left for us to do wasn't about doing our own thing or even about saving our own souls. It was about doing things, about using our talents to bring forth fruit for the kingdom. And how do we do that? We do it by working wherever God calls us to, according to our state in life, to lead other people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you come to Mass? Perfect. Invite your neighbor. You're involved in a Bible study? Excellent. Ask about helping to start one for the young adults or for the youth. Your kids are in youth ministry? Outstanding. Encourage them to invite a friend, even a non-Catholic friend. Do you know any Hispanic members of your community? If you don't, meet some. If you do, spend some quality time with the folks that you do know. Join the Knights of Columbus. Work with St. Vincent de Paul. Buy a devotional for your family and commit to praying from it as a family every week or even every day. But whatever you do, do something intentionally to help bring other people to Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, we're called to work for the kingdom, not just watch. The culture wants us to focus on things that make us feel good. Snowmen and candy canes, little generic manger scenes, and Christmas trees. And all those things are nice in their place. But as we enter this season of Advent, there is so much more that God is calling us to think about. When we remember that Christ is coming back and that it means something that he's coming back, it ought to make us first look more closely at our own lives to see how we're living and to change what we can to prepare for his return. We ought to be watchful. We need to be ready. But we also need to be working. And thanks be to God that he's equipped us with the grace God bestowed on us in Christ Jesus, with all discourse and all knowledge, so that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift as we wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's prepared us for the work that we need to do. We already have the toolkit that we need to work for the kingdom. We have already received the grace that we need to do what we've been called to do. Watching, that's good. But working while we watch, that's what we're called to do. So, what are you doing?